You guys don't know who is on the screen below me. If you didn't grow up in the 90s, then I'm not sure what you're doing here. No, I'm just kidding. But we have the one, the only, the actress, the philanthropist that I can't say. She has done so much for me personally as a child growing up in the 90s on shows like Alex Mack. I'm sure you all know Robin Russo from The Secret World of Alex Mack. She was on Boy Meets World, as well as Step by Step. You guys remember that show? ER. I mean, you've been on so many things. It's incredible. So thank you so much for joining us and being a part of Raw History. And are you ready to let your Raw History out?
Let's do it.
All right.
Let's do it.
So a little bit of background on you for those who are joining. And of course, everyone, if you want to ask some questions, you could always join in the chat. If you want to join in on the actual video chat towards the end, if there's time, of course, you know, it's up to, you know, how she feels, if you have time to do so. You know, she, I'm sure, would love to ask or answer some of your questions as well. So it's on YouTube as well here as on YouNow. So thank you, YouNow, for sponsoring this as well. So a little bit about you. You actually started out at 2 years old in that group, right? Two?
Yeah.
That's insane. So you started out at two, which led to a Broadway production in Manhattan, where you lived in New York for quite a while, right? When did you move to?
When I was nine. I moved out here to California, I should say, when I was 9 years old.
Nine, okay. So that's, all right. And then that's when you were on Billy on TGIF.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. You were also in a McDonald's commercial.
Yeah.
I always wanted to be in a McDonald's commercial when I was younger. I don't know why. But you've been in 14 TV shows, like I said, Alex Mack, Boy Meets World, Step by Step, ER, Baywatch, 90210, over six movies. I mean, you've won numerous awards. It's how does that feel to know that you've accomplished so much at such a young age and you're still to this day accomplishing so much?
I mean, it sounds a lot cooler when you say it. So yeah, I mean, I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful to have that kind of a stamp, I guess, on pop culture. It means a lot, yeah.
I mean, I can say for myself, growing up, I idolized all. I used to tell all of my family that I could morph and you know, do all the powers that Larissa, Alex,
yeah,
do on the show. And I always said if I could be anyone on the show besides Alex, it would be Robin Russo, because I related to you and the aspect is it, like, I knew who I was as a person, but I also was a little bit like, you know, that like standoffish, a little bit just not the norm, what everyone is used to, you know. And I loved that about your character so much. You stood out, especially when you were the pigtails, that, yeah. Everything about it was amazing.
Oh, thank you.
You're very, very welcome.
Yeah.
Now, starting out at such a young age in you know, the entertainment industry, I can only imagine, you know, did that affect your life growing up as a teenager, or young adult, and even now?
Yeah, I mean, as a teenager, yeah, it was just a different life. You know, I didn't go to a regular school. I didn't do any kind of like normal things that kids were doing. It was all acting. That was my whole entire life, which I loved, but I also missed out on a lot of things too. And it, you know, it also changes you as far as like your psyche and stuff like that, because you're just trained at a really early age to perform and work and make money, and a lot of lines get blurred and things start to get really confused. So yeah, I mean, and to this day, I mean, it's probably what I'm known for best, being an actress, and that can kind of fuck with your head still too, because now, you know, I don't have any current acting that I'm doing, so it always kind of makes you like, well, am I good enough if I'm not acting? What I do with the other part of my life, is that good enough? Like, you know, so yeah, I mean, it affects everything. Okay.
Right. Yeah. Especially, well, thank goodness, you know, we didn't grow up in the year 2020. Well, that's a whole nother topic.
Right.
Having all of our mistakes and bad choices in life, you know, weren't documented.
Right. Yeah. For the most part. Yeah.
Right. Unless we wanted it to be.
Right.
Okay. Now, we've definitely witnessed the repercussions of, you know, some might say the downward spiral of celebrities who started out at a young age, like Britney Spears, Amanda Bynes, also even Lindsay Lohan. And they've all got, like I said, they're started at a very young age on either Nickelodeon or Disney, you know, networks such as that. And now, you know, with that pressure to always be on, or, you know, I guess for, you know, like camera ready, basically, you know, for the media, the paparazzi, the fans, the, you know, everything. You know, do you have any advice for any of your younger fans who might be watching or will be watching later on, who are looking to get into the entertainment industry, as either an actress or a singer or whatever the case?
Just really know who you are. Just know who you are. Just know who you are and stand really strong in that, you know, and don't compare yourself to anyone else, because God makes you perfect exactly how you are. You know, I think when we start to compare ourselves to others is when we really get into kind of like the shit of what gets really uncomfortable. It's like, I'm not good enough, I'm not as pretty as that person, or what have you, all of that stuff. And if you love acting, you have to remember to love acting, because if you don't, go do something else with your life, really, you know?
I can only imagine that the pressure of, especially being someone, you know, so young, to be so impressionable on, you know, how people look at you and what they feel about, you know, the outfits that you're wearing. And it's so unfortunate that that's how it is. Hopefully, you know, that changes with time. But that's amazing advice. You know, it truly, and also have, I'm sure, have a good team behind you.
I mean, definitely have people that you trust behind you that have your best interest at heart, of course, but just know who you are. Really know who you are.
Perfect advice.
Yeah.
And I, as an adult, need to learn and take that into consideration.
We all do. Yeah. I mean, we all do, no matter what you do in life.
Now, you posted something on Facebook today that this was not a part of what, you know, the questions that I had, but you literally summed up pretty much this entire interview in a beautiful paragraph. I'll read it later on, but you kind of touched on, you know, if this year in whole, looking at it as, you know, an outsider looking at someone's social media, people usually, I like to say, don't compare somebody's highlight reel to your B-roll. Mm. Or your outtakes.
Yeah.
And now a lot of celebrities have this invisible pedestal that they're on. And do you think that a lot of, you know, celebrities or, you know, now YouTube influencers have kind of been hiding behind smoke and mirrors?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody does, you know? I mean, I think the reason, why we get so, we feel so insecure when we go on social media, and why there's all this mental health surrounding social media, is because, you know, you're comparing however you're feeling on any given day to what someone's presenting as like their absolute best life. And, you know, none of that is real. None of that's real. You know, like, this is what I look like most of the time. The pictures that I put on my social media for content, those are modeling pictures or publicity shots or acting photos or headshots or, you know, but it's hard. I mean, I go through the same thing. I'll scroll through Instagram and I'm like, oh, my life sucks, you know, but like, my life's beautiful exactly how it is. So it's all smoke and mirrors for the most part.
Yeah. You know?
It really is. That's why there's a million filters. That's why there's a million ways to post something or, you know, that's why there's like all this, hype around how many likes you get and how many followers you have. And, you know, it's a lot of it is bullshit. And we all know that, but we know it and we don't even really like allow ourselves to know it, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
I always say like I'm the first to admit I'm the Facetune king, but I will never deny the fact, that I do it. I think that it's so kind of concerns me when these people, celebrities who, you know, are clearly augmented for a lack of better words and they're denying it. And then they have these children and young adults looking up to them as if that's the normal. And then they're denying the fact that they had any work done. At least, I admit that I, filter my.
Everybody does. Everyone throws a filter, a quick little judge over a picture. I mean, you know, I'm definitely not afraid to go out without makeup, or, you know, I wear sweatpants most often. But if I take I don't even do selfies anymore because I'm just like so over it. But if I do a selfie or I take a picture with someone, like, yeah, I throw a quick, very subtle zhuzh over the picture. Right. Of course, we all do.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's the unfortunate, well, fortunate or unfortunate, the new
world we live in. It is what it is. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now, there's, speaking of.
Just real quick, let me tell you. Do you have a filter on yourself right now?
I do not.
Just a blue kind of backdrop deal.
Blue backdrop and a ring light.
You don't need a freaking filter ever. You're better looking like this. Isn't that crazy? Like, I see that, but you probably don't see that. And you probably think the same about me. And I'm like, oh, you're nuts. Like, of course I need a filter. But what, you know, what we see and what others see isn't crazy, you know?
Right. We always, when we look at ourselves in the mirror, I feel like we know what our personal imperfections are, or what we feel are our imperfections.
Right, yeah.
Focus on. When in reality, we're all really just thinking about what other people are thinking about us. You know what I mean?
Right. Everyone's self-obsessed. Self-obsessed, yeah. For, I mean, not like horrible way, but a lot of people, you know, we think about, you know, we're stuck in our own heads. So, yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
Very true. And kind of leading into that, there's so much, you know, a ridiculous amount of stigma placed on mental health and mental illness. And I myself have always been very, very open about my struggles with anxiety, mm-hmm. with addiction, with depression. And, I know you yourself have been open in the past. We'll talk about that. But there's been so many instances where I tried to mask who I was or who I really thought that I was. And I think I had mentioned to you my whole life I felt as if I was playing a role for somebody else, that I didn't really know who I was until, you know, actually just very recently. Now, do you feel like this stigma has gotten worse as time has gone by, or do you think that you see a progression in that being more accepted and understood?
I think it's getting better. I mean, I think more and more people are talking about it. It's less taboo. It's less kind of like, a sign of weakness. And I think, yeah, I definitely think it's getting better. I do.
There's so many people who, you know, could use, you know, their platforms that have, you know, such a large audience that, you know, some of them do. No, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to focus on, you know, the negative by any means. But I think that there are enough people who are, you know, out, you know, speaking out on, you know, like Kanye West with everything that was going on with him. And, you know, there's just so many people, you know, celebrity and non-celebrity alike, who go, it's something that just is. And, you know, you wouldn't go up to somebody who has cancer and be like, oh, you have cancer, like, oh, you're so crazy. Like, nobody chooses to have a mental illness. So the fact that there's that stigma around that, it just, it boggles my mind. But I also agree, I think that it is getting much better than...
Yeah, I think it is, yeah.
Now that it's becoming, you know, the year that we're in, I think that everybody is going to be a lot more aware of what, you know, people have gone through for years and have been called crazy for. So yeah,
that's true.
Now, do you yourself suffer from any mental illnesses or mental health issues? And if so, how do you cope, with that, being in the limelight and out of the limelight, and how do you maintain, you know, that stability that you know need to keep going?
I mean, I have situational depression and a whole side of anxiety that I had no idea about that kind of came out throughout quarantine and COVID. And I've had panic attacks before, or anxiety attacks when something was so huge that was happening that I had no control of. But anxiety hasn't necessarily been my thing that I've struggled with until this year. But depression, yeah. I mean, there's days I can't even get out of bed, you know? And obviously, I've struggled with addiction and alcoholism for a good portion of my life. And that is also, you know, in my opinion, a mental health diagnosis as well, and a disease of the brain. And, you know, so yeah, I've had a lot of different things that I've kind of dealt with throughout my lifetime, and I just do the best that I can. And there are some days that I can't do anything at all, and I'm okay with that, you know. And I'm really blessed and fortunate to have so many incredible people in my life that really support me and keep me going. My boyfriend and my family and my kind of support system. As far as that goes, so I know how lucky I am, because I know there's people who really feel like they suffer in silence and all alone, and if I let myself, I would too, you know. I think I've just been trained so well after all these years of being sober that I don't sit in it for too long. You know, I have a sponsor through AA, and I try and get out of it as quickly as I can. And then there's some days where I'm like, fuck this, I'm just gonna sit in it, and that's the best I can do on that day too.
Absolutely. It's that's awesome that you have, you know, those people, there to kind of assist you on those days that it's not so easy. Because like you said, there are days where it's, I'm sure it's much easier than others to go through that. Now, outside of acting, you also do work for a rehab facility, which it's called Restore Health and Wellness.
Yeah.
All right. And you've also, this is amazing. I did not know this. You founded San Fernandino Valley Feed the Homeless organization. Mm-hmm. Now, how does it feel to know that you are using that platform that I was discussing that so many people have for good? That has to be an amazing feeling to know that you're, you know, doing, a service to people who are, you know, in need, especially now.
Well, I try not to think about it, because the more I think about what I'm doing, the less I'm like out of what I'm actually doing, right? So I just do it because it needed to be done. And, I was at the worst part of my addiction. I was homeless at one point myself. And I just saw a really big, it's San Fernando Valley, but that's okay, because it's in California, and not a lot of people know how to say that. I was just driving around, and there was such a need for someone to do something and just try and, like, feed some people out there, and also go downtown to Skid Row and all of those places. So, yeah, it's been one of my fondest, times that I've had being of service is, you know, with this organization for sure. And we've taken it further than I realized we could have. So it's been amazing. Yeah, it's done more for me than anyone else, that's for sure.
That's amazing. I love to hear, you know, people, doing for others, because I do believe that everything comes back. So.
Well, you have to. I mean, the more I think about you, the less I think about me, you know? And if we're not of service in the world, I mean, just our purpose is dim, you know? Obviously, love is, I believe, why we're here on this planet, but also to, like, help when you can, how you can, is so important and will provide you an experience in your life that I've always tried to, like, provide to myself with drugs or alcohol or shopping or sex or whatever it was. But being of service to another human being actually was able to provide me that spiritual experience that I could never quite find with anything else.
Wow. I never even thought of it that way. That's, yeah. That's mind blown.
Yeah.
So, What was it that made you decide that, you know, the volunteer work was what you wanted to do after having such an amazing and successful acting career?
I mean, it was amazing and successful. And then, you know, as soon as I started using drugs, it was not so amazing and successful. And I was, you know, pretty down and out for a long time. I lived in a car for a while, you know, I just kind of it progressed really quickly to a very bad place. So I knew when I was kind of like graced by God to get out of all of that and look it out on the other side, that I kind of had a responsibility to train my brain to always be thinking of like what I could do for somebody else.
Right. Gotcha. Okay. Now you said, you know, yourself that you had an addiction with alcohol and substances. What was your like aha moment? That moment when you were like, enough. Like this is like when like what made you realize that that was not the road that you were intended to be going?
I've had a few of those, to be honest. You know, because I've kind of it's taken me a long time to get to the point where I'm at. So I would have that moment and then it wouldn't stick, and then I'd have the moment again and it wouldn't stick. So I think this last time I got sober, it was just like, I don't think it's anything I did. I think it was kind of like divine intervention, grace by God, whatever you believe in, whatever you want to call it, I think is what did it for me. Because I think like left up to my own devices, I might not, you know, be the person you're looking at today. So I think it was something much greater than myself that made the decision for me, like enough is enough, you know? And I think I had a different purpose in life than to just kind of, you know, die by drowning in an alcohol bottle or, you know, behind drugs. So,
right.
Yeah.
And I can 100% relate to that. You know, there was a lot of time while I was living in New York City, like I said, there was times I was completely intoxicated by the time it was, you know, most people weren't even waking up yet, or were just getting home from an overnight shift. You know, it was bad for a while. And it took me waking up in a hospital like, what? And then, you know, it took a while after that, but I think that, you know, it was that moment that was like, what are you, like, I really had to sit and think, What am I doing? What is the purpose? What do I like who I am when I am on, you know, when I'm drinking? You know, it's like you said though, there are multiple times when, you know, you go back and forth, and I'm so thankful that you were able to get to that point and you're here with us now to have this conversation. So.
Thank you. That means a lot. Thank you for that. Yeah. I'm grateful too.
Yeah. There's nobody more grateful than me.
Right. Yeah, I'm grateful to be here still too, for sure.
Awesome. Yeah. Let's see. So now you mentioned that you were homeless. Now, was that due to alcoholism or?
Yeah. Okay. All because of that. Yeah. Yeah. I won't go into the nitty gritty of it. Yeah. Yeah. All behind drug addiction and alcoholism, 100%. Yeah.
And now describe that feeling. I know that there's so many people in 2020 who are facing that, you know, I can only imagine that being a psychiatrist right now would be the profession that I should have chose. But, you know, choosing alcohol and drugs and, you know, having no income, what was that like to know that you had that career, that moment that was so strong, and then, you know, life happened and, you know, you found yourself in that situation?
I mean, it's heavy, and you keep drinking to not have to think about how heavy it is, and to not have to like think about what you lost, you know. Yeah, it's heavy, and it's you know, I can imagine how heavy it is for people that are, you know, excuse me, going through it right now. It's a tough deal. Like when your one coping skill is to drink over how you feel, you know. But I understand, and like if there's anything I can say, it's just that like you don't have to drink again, even if you want to. You don't have to.
Right.
And if you don't want to drink ever again, you definitely don't have to. You just have to like reach out to your resources, whatever they are in your area, be it Central Office for Alcoholics Anonymous or a rehabilitation facility, or, you know, if you don't have any insurance and if there's a government program in your area, there are options, you know. You just have to be vigilant, but you have to really know that you're done with whatever it is that you're doing that's harmful to your spirit, whether it's drinking, drugs, gambling, eating. I mean, there's a million different ways that people damage themselves.
Absolutely. You know? And that's amazing that you said, because there's so many people, when someone has addiction, you know, it instantly goes to, you know, drugs or alcohol. But there are so many other factors. Like you said, gambling, food. I mean, I'm as skinny as can be, but trust and believe, I can out-eat anybody on any given, but there are so many different, you know, things that can be considered an addiction. So, you know, to really know that there are, you know, people and sort of resources, absolutely.
Yeah.
Important, definitely important. Guys, take notes. Now, this one is even tough for me to ask. You recently found out that you were adopted.
Yeah.
And I can only imagine that could have, you know, opened up some emotions that you never even would imagine having.
Yeah.
Can you touch a little bit on that and you know, when it was that this happened? Was this during your sobriety? Was this?
Yeah, it was about 4 years ago. So yeah, I was sober a long time even at that point. And it all kind of like came about a weird way. But I matched with someone on 23andMe, and that kind of started the whole story and led me down like a whole path of the Pandora's box. I, you know, looked into it, I found another family member, and they were all like pretty close family members, not distant distant cousins, but like a grandpa, uncle, brother, sister. Yeah, a lot. So that was about 4 years ago, and of course there's a million emotions that come along with it, but I was super grateful and very excited to like embrace the experience.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing to hear, to, you know, look at the, you know, as an opportunity to learn more about something that you maybe never would have had a chance to know about your history, your family, your genetics and all of that. So that shows a lot of your character, that you're able to, you know, pull the positive out of that.
Yeah, I was excited. I was down. I was like, all right, yeah, I have brothers and a sister and uncles and cousins and a grandpa, and I was excited. I was excited to learn about everything and see where it could take all of us, you know?
But is that, you're still are you still in contact with them?
Yeah, my brother's actually going to be here any second. I'm in Texas at my boyfriend's house. We come here every year for Christmas. My brother's on his way now. Everyone got COVID tested, so we're all safe. So I don't want like a bunch of shit about that because we have been very, very good about everything. Rapid tests, the regular test, the rapid test, everything. It's been insane. So yeah, he's actually going to be here any second. So by the time I get off here with you, he'll be downstairs with them waiting for me. So yeah, we're all very close now. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah.
I only have a couple more questions, so I won't.
Yeah, it's all good. Yeah.
So now, being that you're an actress, you know, a model, you're also an advocate for and an ally for the LGBT community, which, as you all know, hi, I'm gay.
You're number 12 on LGBT. I don't know what that means. Now you're 11.
Yeah, we're trending at 11.
No clue what any of this means, but yes, I'm a huge advocate, big ally. It's hard to like kind of express how I feel about the community in a way that doesn't sound kind of arrogant for somebody who identifies as a straight female, but I have a love for anyone who is brave enough to express themselves in a world who tells you you couldn't be what you are, right? And I think that there is no other community that is as bold and brave as the LGBTQ community by far. And yeah, I've all my best friends have always been gay. Male, female. I don't know. I've just, maybe I was gay in a past life. Maybe I was trans in a past life. I have no idea, but I have such a calling to that community that, and I'm just always so kind of taken aback by, the bravery it takes to be who you are, to just be who God made you to be. What is to have to fight that, to just be who you are every single day. Because I believe everybody's perfect in God's creation, and then we just kind of get askewed along the way. And when I say askewed, I mean like a murderer, I don't think is like, do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, absolutely.
But for someone who was just born exactly who they were supposed to be and then has to like fight that for their whole life and be scared to be that and get picked on or bullied or ousted by their families or what have you. Yeah, I mean, I wish I knew more I could do than to just be an ear, an ally, an advocate. And maybe that's my next project, to figure out how I can really jump in there and be of service more to that community. But yeah, so yes, I hope that answered that question.
Yeah. Well, I know somebody who, might be able to,
Please, yeah. Yeah, tell him to let me know.
Keep you guys in the loop.
Awesome.
and I thank you first and foremost for standing up for not just the LGBT community, but for, the Black Lives the Black Lives Matter movement. So many things that I think are, and I say that with quotes because I don't feel that way, but it's like, what is the media making the topic of discussion? And then it's kind of like on to the next in the
non. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right.
And I appreciate the fact that you have consistently stuck by your word and what you believe in, and have consistently shared, your thoughts unapologetically, almost, if for a lack of better words, and really been, truly authentic with, your supporters and friends and fans. So
I love you guys too. Thank you.
Without a doubt. Now tell me about this camp. Okay, so you teamed up with, you're asked to collaborate
with
a company to raise proceeds for the homeless community, and they sold out, right?
I got approached by a candle company. It's called A Better Half Collection. They reached out to me. Her name's Kala. She owns the company. She's really awesome. She's a woman of color as well. It's a small business and things that are really important to me as well. And a lot of kind of stuff like that. I had to, you know, redirect my booking agent. And then he vetted it and he's like, oh, it sounds legit. And I was like, okay, cool. And then I got involved and kind of helped with the creative process of it. So we came up with two candles. One is just a Natanya Ross candle. The other one is an Alex Mack one. They're sold as a set. So it's a two candle set. I think we separated them now for the month of December for some people that just wanted one or the other. But yeah, 20% went to Blessed Bag, which is an organization in Los Angeles that packs a bag for a man, a woman, and a dog that has like pretty much everything someone would need to kind of survive for like at least a week or so out on the streets. Yeah, so really, and the woman who created that organization, her name's Bella Baskin, and she's amazing. Her and I have teamed up many times before with my Feed the Homeless and her Blessed Bag. So her organization, I thought it was tacky to like have the proceeds go to my own organization. So it was just like a perfect fit. And yeah, we sold out the first week of pre-sale in October. We did it again in November. We were able to feed recently, or pass out, I should say, almost 75 bags. Yeah, with the 20% of the proceeds that went to that. So that was awesome. And I felt really lucky to have been asked to do that. And the candles are still up. It's, I think there's a link in my bio on Instagram. It's, yeah, just if you go to her page and then in her bio, it's just the Natanya set. So yeah, that was really cool.
Well, now that I know that they're not sold out, I know where I'll be making some purchases for Christmas gifts.
Please do. Yes, please do. That would be awesome. They're separated now, so you can pick either or. And yeah, it was a really cool thing to be a part of. And I got a lot of support from my acting friends from that. That was really special. On my Instagram, on my highlight reel, it just says, I think, candle collab. And I kind of saved all of the different videos my friends had made for me, you know, helping me promote everything. So it was a really cool experience, yeah.
And I remember joining over the live stream with you and Angelique.
Two
of my people,
Angelique was awesome in helping me promote that too. She's been a good friend since we were 9 years old. So
I know, yeah. You guys, we grew up together.
Yeah, there's a lot of us that stayed friends a really, really long time, and it's crazy. Yeah.
Now this is not a part of the approved. As you just said, you know, a lot of you guys are still in touch with each other. Are there, you know, of the show, you know, I'm sure you guys are still very close, if not, you know, but as far as, you know, supporting each other's projects, is that?
Yeah, I mean, yes. So I still talk to Larissa a lot, and yeah, she's been very supportive. I got us all together for a reunion during quarantine. We filmed a little bit of it on Zoom. I think that's in my like IG stories or something on Instagram. Yeah, so, and then Darius is like, you know, Darius is always, he played Ray Alvarado. He's always, we've never left each other's side. And then when we did our reunion special in 2018, that was at Universal Studios. That's when a lot of the rest of them came back into my life as well. Primarily Jason Strickland, who played Scott Green, and he's one of my best friends now. And he has his own production company called In the Light Productions, and he makes these incredible projects. He's a brilliant director. He's always supporting everything I'm doing too. So yeah, I mean, again, very lucky. I know it's very rare for that kind of stuff. I mean, this show was on, you know, shit, we filmed it like,
was it 94?
Yeah, we started filming, I think, in like 91 or 92.
Yeah,
and we've, you know, for the most part remained, I mean, yeah, it's crazy. It's really crazy. And I still talk to the creator, Tommy Lynch, all the time too. So, yeah.
That's awesome. And that it shows that, I mean, you could tell with the chemistry that was on that show, just as, you know, the edited episodes, that you could, there was that chemistry, and that's something that you can't really, you can't fake that.
You can't. And we grew up together.
No, we knew each other. I'd have been like, what do you?
Yeah, we grew up together in like the coolest decade of all, you know, and that's what we experienced together, like, is a completely unique experience to us. And that's special, you know, so, yeah.
Perfect. Well, I'm still keeping my fingers crossed for some type of reunion. I know I tried as I could back, you know, was last year, I think, but fingers.
We got we're fingered crossed too.
Yeah. Well, I won't keep you much longer. I just, you know, for everybody who's watching and listening later on in the podcast, you know, if you want to let everybody know where they can follow you or find you on social media, any projects or anything that you're working on personally or just even internally.
My Instagram is just Natanya Ross. So NatanyaRoss, Natanya Ross. I'm pretty easy to find on Instagram. My fan page on Facebook is the same, Natanya Ross. Projects coming up super quick. I have a really amazing booking agency that's working on kind of getting me into all of the convention. You know, everything's shut down right now, so there's not a lot. You can also find me on Cameo. I'm on Jemmy. Jemmy does a lot of cool like Zooms. We're thinking about putting together like a 90s, our own little 90s convention. So yeah, there's different stuff going on. The candles are still up for sale. And, you know, I'm hoping some really cool kind of deals come through in 2021.
I know it's going to be a new year. And I think that it's a great time to really reinvent the art of what we've all lost, I think, throughout the years. And that's really being able to resource, like, fully be aware in our complete I can't think of the right words. Lord, help me. But just like being framed to be like, right about, I mean, your stories that I'm sure.
Yeah. I'm hoping I'm writing that book this year. That's the goal. We'll see. Got a little work to do before I can get started, but yeah. So we'll see. Perfect. Fingers crossed.
Well, I'm sure whatever it is that you set your mind to, you will definitely be able to accomplish.
Thank you.
And I definitely appreciate all the all the time that we've had, you know, just discussing this, just even up to this moment. And I know that we touched on a lot of things. Is there anything that I didn't necessarily ask or talk about that you would like to I talk a lot, so I'm sure that
I said a lie. No, I don't think so. I just want to remind everybody that, like, you know, one of the most damaging things you can do is to compare your insides to somebody's outsides. And it's really hard because we live in a world where everyone looks perfect and beautiful on social media, and that's not reality. And you are perfect exactly how you are. You are perfect exactly how you are. That's the truth. And I say it because I need to hear it too. So yeah, I think that's what I would leave everybody with, and to have a really beautiful holiday. And no matter what your circumstances are, you know, one, there's a way out of it if you don't want them anymore. And two, if you think that the hand of cards you've been dealt is bad, I can guarantee somebody's got a much worse deck. So it's just something to remember, and that we need to be grateful and be there for each other and be kind. You know, I don't care what kind of car someone drives. I don't care how much money you have, what Gucci purse you have. I don't care about any of that. Like, to me, the coolest fucking things somebody can be is kind. There's nothing cooler. That's so dope when someone's just that kind. Like, that blows everything else out of the water. So that would be my my thoughts I would leave everyone with.
I couldn't have summed it up any better. I couldn't. Well, again, thank you so much, honestly, for taking this time, especially right before Christmas and the holiday, to, you know, share your story and you know, join us here on Raw History. And I know that, you know, you have a bunch of fans and followers who will love to be able to hear the side of you know, the Robin Russo that they grew up with, but the actual person behind that, you've grown to be, the beautiful woman that you've grown to be, that we all have learned to love over the years. So thank you so much. I appreciate
it. Thank you, babe. It means so much. So nice to see you. We'll talk soon.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. All right, babe. What do I do? Just click out right here? That's it?
That's it.
All right. Bye.
All right. Have a good night. All right, guys. That was the Raw History stream for the evening. If you would like to watch this, of course, again, if you missed it, you can go over to my YouTube channel. It'll take probably about an hour or so for it to render over there. And then a cleaned up and slightly edited version will be available for download on my podcast, which of course you can check out on rawhistory.net. There's also my store, my merch store, also at rawhistory.net. So basically everything that you'll need to be able to watch, listen, or hear this again will either be on YouTube or at rawhistory.net. Huge thank you to Netanya for joining us and allowing us in on, you know, such a very personal part that not a lot of people are willing to share. And my mission with Raw History is to do that, to allow people the knowledge and the awareness that it is okay to speak your truth, to speak your raw history. And as Nadanya said, please stay kind to one another, take care of yourself, and enjoy your holidays. It's a festive time of year, right? It's 2020. No, I'm just kidding. But thank you guys so much for tuning in. And